The other day, my wife said she had to run down to the grocery store. We literally just needed like milk and eggs and bread. I mean, it was one of those kind of things, super, super fast. And we are literally like 3 minutes from the grocery store. So she takes off. I'm doing some stuff. And finally, after like a half hour, I'm thinking, I haven't seen her yet. I don't know where she is. You know, maybe she picked up a few extra ingredients. And then like an hour goes by. I still haven't seen her. 2 hours go by. Now, remember, 3 minutes away is grocery store and she is still not back. I'm telling you, finally, after 3 hours, she finally returned home. I said, "Hi, where were you? You just ran down to the grocery store." And then she had this big, long story. Oh, I ran into someone and then I ran someone else. And then I realized I needed to get something else. So I ran to another city and literally what should have been a 15-minute run to the grocery store and back turned into a 3-hour me getting nervous, me on the verge of calling the police, me on the verge of hiring a private detective to track her down and find out where she disappeared between the milk and the eggs and the bread at the grocery store. Today, you're going to find out exactly how a very similar story is changing the world and changing how your medical experience might be going in the future. Hi, everybody. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. Welcome to the Voice Box. Today, we're excited to have as our guest, Dr. Steve Bokshan of Smart OR. Steve, welcome to the Voice Box.
Thank you for having me. Awesome to be chatting with such illustrious people. I can't thank you guys enough for having me on.
Wait, do we have some different people on the show today? Do we have some illustrious people? they didn't tell me about that. I would have gotten dressed up. Okay, Dr. Steve, I got to ask you a very similar story. Like me losing my wife happened, except it wasn't you losing your wife. Your wife actually lost you, and which is leading to the whole conversation. So walk us through the story. What happened?
Yeah, so believe it or not, I was beginning a surgery later than most, probably sometime around 5 or 6 o'clock at night. With the intention of working for about an hour or two. Ultimately, I told my wife to expect me home around 8 or 9 o'clock. And when the surgery went a little bit later than anticipated, without the ability to really send a message or alert her in any way, I had come to realize that at one point I got home that she had already filed a missing persons report on me. And to me, that was kind of an insightful moment to realize that even in the most modern operating room, you know, quote unquote, in the world, I still didn't have the capacity to send a message or communicate in any meaningful way while scrubbed in. And it kind of made me realize that something that we consider very modern may not necessarily be as modern as even some of the technology that we have in our kitchen, for example.
Is that what you're now, is your goal, is your vision to turn the operating room into having that same kind of connectivity and whatever, just so you're scrubbed in and you can say, I don't know, you can tell different devices to do stuff, right?
Yeah, it's a really unique challenge because the technology should be available when you want it, but not so intrusive that you have to use it, especially with something as precious as surgery. Because as you can imagine for a surgeon, you know, in my mind, the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that are going on at any moment are patient related or vitals related or nursing related, things that will impact the patient. But the fact remains is that as a surgeon, having the ability to voice control things in the operating room or send a quick message to check on the pre-op area to see if my patient is in the room, even while I'm scrubbed in, so that I'm not literally asking a nurse to grab a phone out of my back pocket or make a call. I can't tell you how many random nurses I've given my cell phone password to just to send a quick message or to call the device representative from across town to have them give us some information on a specific tool or plate, for example, that we're using in the operating room. So the reality is that, yeah, I do envision a completely connected operating room where a surgeon is able to control things in a more complete and thoughtful manner. Without needing to scrub out, without needing to have someone grab their phone out of their back pocket in a very uncomfortable kind of showmanship. So yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that was,
I'm just very, I'm intrigued because you found it more unnerving to give a nurse your passcode for your phone. I would find it a little more unnerving for some strange nurse to be digging around in my pocket. It's like, whoa, that's not the phone. What are you doing there? I mean, that gets a little, you know, too close for comfort, right?
Yeah, I've gotten very good at wearing baggy scrubs.
So are we going to get to the point? So right now, as you're describing that, I can picture me in the operating room saying, hey, smart speaker, you know, is the next patient ready? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Are we going to get to the point where smart operating rooms can actually do procedures from voice dictation? Can I get, almost like a hands-free, you know, like sort of long distance procedures. Can we do that with voice dictation, or is that a possibility?
Yeah. So it's a very kind of hot topic, touch button item to say voice controlled surgery, because it's interesting. I was just watching the other day, someone did enable their original Mario game to be completely voice controlled, and watching someone go through a two-dimensional maze of old school Mario so poorly with voice control, it really points out that there's a lot that we need to improve on before things are, you know, hey, smart OR, cut so-and-so's ligament or something like that. But I have no doubt in my mind that sooner rather than later, we're going to be using voice control to control kind of the things that go around surgery. So the biggest one, for example, is arthroscopic surgery. So as an orthopedic surgeon, I do camera-based surgery within the joints of the body, shoulder and knee are common ones. And the cameras that we use have buttons on them that surgeons can't often access, or there's only three buttons most cases. So it makes it difficult to program the scope with more than three functions. And as you can imagine, giving the surgeon the ability to just say a trigger word and say, record a video of this, take a picture of this so I can document that for the patient, white balance the camera so that I know what I'm looking at, turn up the brightness. I mean, just having that ability for the surgeon to use their voice to do those things can imbue dozens of new features that the surgeon otherwise wouldn't have had access to, and doesn't necessarily pull the trigger on allowing a robot to operate on a human. People aren't so ready for that yet. Although that being said, robotics is an increasingly popular area of medicine.
Is this, as you picture this, as you describe this, this sort of sounds like it totally should be available now and realistic. I mean, like when I watch Iron Man or when I watch different movies and I see some of that same technology, yeah. Did you get inspiration from like movies when you were watching those thinking, hey, I should be able to do that?
I mean, not just that. I mean, as a high school student and college student, I assume that those things already exist. I mean, I thought my first day on my surgical rotations as a medical student, I thought I was literally walking into the Minority Report. To my chagrin, it turns out you're walking into a pretty sterile box with four walls and maybe a computer in the corner that isn't quite heavily used or used at all. These days, I find it a luxury if I have a monitor on the wall to post some x-rays or basic things like that. There are increasingly some smart devices that keep popping up in the operating room. They tend to give a hospital administrator and IT folks a lot of anxiety and angina, because as you can imagine, these things tend to trigger for reasons that we don't necessarily understand, or maybe a couple syllables that kind of sounded like what you think it should sound like. And that creates a whole new slew of, hey, did that data, what was said in that data clip, where did it go, who has access to it now, God forbid something terrible just happened in that short 2-second stint, is that now a black box for something horrible that's going to be drawn on legally? And and in my mind, that made things very easy for voice control within a space as simple like the operating room. It simply said it needs to be completely private. It can't go anywhere. It needs to stay within the walls of those four walls of that operating room. So for me, privacy has never been something to sacrifice.
Now, of course, your whole life centers around the operating room. And so you've created Smart OR, this ability to connected operating room with smart technology devices. Are you also looking into things that people can do in their homes as well, like our home smart speakers?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the other facet of smart OR or smarter, as I've been more recently known to say it. Because to be honest, I think offline voice control is just a smarter way of doing things. Not to say that it works necessarily any better than some of the common commercial products that you can get out there, but it does so in a more private way. And I think that the thing that is really tough for people to realize is that voice control doesn't have to be cloud-based. You can control a lot of things within your home. You know, the first time I ever turned a light bulb on without going to the cloud, I remember at the time thinking it was like sorcery. It was magic that I didn't have to send data somewhere to do that. But the reality is you can do it. You can do it with a lower latency than it takes to go out to the cloud, because everything is just happening very locally. And I think as smarter or smart OR continues to put this type of voice control, this kind of OR grade private voice control into people's homes to control a light bulb, to control, turn on their TV, to flip on their favorite TV station, I think it's not going to necessarily be a replacement for some of these cloud-based technologies, but it's going to be an alternative. If folks say, hey, you know, I only control three or four things routinely, and I can control those things pretty darn well without sending my voice data somewhere, I think it's a nice option to have, certainly. And I think it's incumbent on really us and this country to provide these kind of resources to our people.
I feel that like cues, like some kind of patriotic music to start playing in the background. You know, I should change my background to a waving flag or something right now. And I find it so interesting that you're so concerned about privacy in your house, but you're not as concerned when some nurse is rummaging around in your back pocket trying to find your cell phone.
Well,
a little over to the right, Oh yeah, okay, that's the phone. Okay, Steve.
If only there were an alternative.
If you had a genie in a box, okay, because this is the voice box, get it?
Yep.
So if you had a genie in a box, you're gonna rub the box. The genie's gonna pop out. Grant any wish that you want for what you're trying to do and what you envision the future as. What do you wish for from your genie in the box?
That's a great question. I mean, I'll have a two-part answer, because one, as a surgeon, I'm selfish and I want a completely surgeon and voice-controlled operating room. And I can only wish that 10 years from now, I'm able to not only control my devices with voice, but I'm able to dictate the op note, you know, in real time while I'm doing it, so that I don't have to spend, you know, my 10 minutes in between a surgery when I should be scarfing down a sandwich, you know, dictating or something like that. The other one is a little less selfish. What I would want is just for the brand recognition of non-cloud-based voice control to get out there among the people, and to know that it's a possibility, and to know that it's an option, and to know that there are an increasing number of platforms who, you know, want to provide really kind of what I consider the gold, you know, a gold standard of privacy. Because to be honest with you, I think that right now, kind of the hardest bit of all of it is just explaining that there's a real need for it, and explaining that, you know, privacy policies are increasingly kind of getting jumbled. And I think really just getting that out there, I think that would be my altruistic goal, my perfect dream.
So I want to make sure I understand, like, some people might be hearing this and they might say, well, I can already turn my lights on using my smart speaker. But what you're offering is a way to do that where the processing is happening locally. So it's more private. You're not sending information over the internet to some giant company somewhere that's then got access to your voice and so forth. It's happening securely and locally.
Yeah,
that's the main thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The way I kind of describe it to people is, imagine putting a Faraday cage around your house. If you did that, would you still be able to control all the things you need to with your voice? And I would argue to you that with the current amount of technology that exists, I think 100% that answer should be yes. But for a lot of the products you can get off the shelf, you know, at a low cost, which is totally fine and totally reasonable. You know, folks can only afford what they can afford or what is available to them. You couldn't do it with that Faraday cage, unfortunately.
Because right now, if you're saying, hey, smart speaker. What are the best kind of big baggy scrubs I can wear so nurses aren't getting too intrusive? Then that goes up to a satellite. It goes all this kind of, so that's like, everybody's going to know about that. But if you just want to say, hey, smart speaker, turn on the speaker, turn on my lights, then the speaker could just go over the lights and say, without having it to go up to the cloud and back, right?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly right. Computer to lights and nowhere in between. I think probably the most ominous part about it is that when you don't know what exists in between those two steps, just the lack of information or the lack of knowledge, I think it promotes a sense of unease. And granted, the conversations that I have in my house aren't necessarily patient related all the time, or aren't necessarily as dire as maybe some of the conversation I'm having in the operating room. But at the end of the day, if to be a person of my word, I do believe that if I consider something a standard that I would want to have in the operating room, then it should at least be offered in the consumer space as well.
Okay. The two companies, Smart OR, making operating rooms smart and connected and all that kind of stuff. And then Smart Home, bringing that same technology with the benefits of privacy to everybody's home, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's incumbent on other spots like the home to be, you know, it would be nice if the operating room could drive technology in some way. Although these days I find that again, we're almost lacking a little bit compared to some of the stuff that I have in my house. It'd be nice if we could kind of bring it the other way.
Amen. And agreed. Dr. Steven, thanks so much for stopping in and sharing your vision of the world. And thanks for changing operating rooms and homes everywhere and helping us get to a better place. And share your brand of scrubs sometime if we ever need that. Okay.
Thank you guys for having me. I really, like I said, I've really enjoyed working with you both, and it's been awesome.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
So Jeff, I love the future and the picture that Dr. Steve has just painted for us. So now I got to find out from you, how realistic is that? And what's the timeline for him being able to connect? Let's start with the operating room. What's the timeline to connect operating rooms with some of the things that he's talking about? Because that seems like that's totally doable.
That is totally doable. And in fact, that is already happening. That is not in the future. That's in the present.
So tell me, what kind of things are presently happening that could currently be going on?
Well, so I am working with a couple of different companies, including Smart OR, that have technology where it's locally processed. That's a concern for everyone in the medical field, where it's locally processed and it's controlling. For example, if you're using, in a lot of cases, like his case where he was talking about arthroscopic surgery, and your eyes are watching a monitor and you want to adjust the brightness or adjust the white levels or whatever, you want to be able to do that with your voice. So we have companies that are doing that kind of thing, controlling the equipment with their voice. We're working with another really intriguing company that is using three-dimensional holograms to envision to give you a better feel of what you're operating on if you're a doctor. And they're saying thing in that case that's voice enabled as well. And they're saying things like, rotate the image 90 degrees to the left, or tilt it up, or things like that, as well as turning on and off the lights and things like that. So that's already there. Ironically, what's still being worked on in the future, it's the technology exists, but I don't know anyone's offering it, is what prompted Steve in the first place. He wanted to be able to, we didn't really talk about this scenario, but I think he wanted to be able to say to something in the operating room, let my wife know that I'm running late, or that I'll be home in 3 hours, or something like that. And so that's going to have to, connect to his email and or a text message service or whatever, and send a message to his wife. But imagine that there are, four people in the operating room right there, and it's now got to understand who said that. Was that Dr. Steve that said, tell my wife I'm running late? Or was that the anesthesiologist or one of the nurses or someone else? You've got to be able to now recognize who's speaking in order to act on that appropriately. So you send the right message to the right wife or husband or partner or whatever. So that's another thing. Let me tell you another thing that is coming along, and I think an increasing issue for voice control with medical professionals, doctors and nurses, and that is these unsung heroes are these doctors and nurses often work very long hours, and it can get that they get fatigued after a 12-hour shift, that they're on their feet and they're working basically nonstop doing these life critical tasks. And we're working with another company that is looking into the possibility of detecting levels of stress and fatigue in their voices. And so in fact you want them to be talking occasionally so that you have some voice to analyze, to figure out are they fatigued, are they stressed. Anyway, there's a lot there. There's a lot to think about.
Like the same kind of thing when I'm driving a car and the car can sense if I'm not my eyes on the road, it can say, hey, right, maybe you want to pull over for a break or whatever. The same thing would happen in an operating room. Let me get you to the second part, the smart home stuff that he's talking about, where I say, hey, smart speaker, turn on the lights.
Yeah.
What has to happen to make the lights turn on without that message going cloud and back?
Yeah, well, all you need is a device in your home that has the computational power to recognize the speech and then interact with your smart home devices, your lights, whatever. And that's like not a challenge anymore. The level of technology that is needed for that is what's in every phone. It's what's in your router. It's in all sorts of devices in your home. So it's easy to imagine a device, a smart home hub or a controller that has that built in so that it doesn't have to go out to the web and back. Now, the smart speaker companies, they like it when the voice goes out over the web to them and back, because I don't want to get in trouble with any of them, but they're learning a lot about you. They're learning, what are your concerns and when do you turn on the lights and and the more they build up a picture, all these little details feed into their ability to target you for ads, for, your interests and concerns and so forth. So I relate to Steve that it would be nice to keep that level of privacy, right? To not go out to the web. It's not just the going to the web and back, but it's giving that information to whoever's hosting that.
So thanks to Dr. Steve and to, of course, your technology as well. The lives of everyone could be changing, not just in operating rooms, but in homes everywhere around the world. So you can turn lights on without everybody in the web knowing about it. You can let your spouse know, I'm going to be late coming home, without some nurse reaching around grabbing things in your pocket. But I want to get that picture out of my mind. We got to stop that anyway. So we'll get on with stuff. So thanks everybody for joining us on the Voice Box today.
Thank you. And we will see you next time.